In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Father Bucci. When you guys meet him, I mean, when you get to heaven, you're gonna have a lot of fun. This guy was his priest was an amazing priest. Always a delight. You know, I mean, he would be gruff. I mean, that's just his manner. But he'd always be laughing at the same time. He would bark, you know, and then people would jump, you know, and he just thought it was funny. He was really a wonderful man. So here in the letter of 2006, Father Bucci says, at various times, very alarming letters reach me about the interpretations of the writings of the servant of God, Luis de Figueroa, by others, which contain errors wrongly attributed to Luisa. And I've heard the same thing, what he's going to talk about right now. He says, basically, some people say the soul who lives in the divine will has no need anymore of being subject to the teaching magisterium of the church. It always astonishes me. You know, they're good Catholics, but they don't have to listen to the church. And the next one was, one has no need of praying anymore. Why? Because you're doing divine acts. You don't have to pray anymore. It's so baffling to hear that. It is not necessary to be present at Holy Mass even on Sundays. Why? Because you're living in the divine will. We're beyond where the rest of the world is. It's really, I mean, great pride, the souls that think that they're living in the divine will. It's just pride. I mean, what's today's readings? If you went to church today, St. Paul says, you know, we are anticipating, we are looking forward to what's coming. He says, I can't claim it now. We have to be faithful to the church, faithful to Christ to get to this point. And so some people are saying, well, I'm a living host. I read throughout divine will and Jesus says, you become a living host. He's talking about Luisa. He's talking to Luisa and he's telling us, if you are as faithful as Luisa, who gave up everything, she didn't walk. She could walk and Jesus said, stay in bed. And she stayed in bed. She ate and Jesus said, stop eating. So she stopped eating. She stopped drinking, stopped sleeping. Luisa was so faithful. And I've been reading now for 3 years and I'm living in the divine will. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. We hope to live in the divine will. We want to live in the divine will. But that great event when Jesus says, when I find the souls who live in the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. This hasn't happened yet. So it's not necessary to receive Holy Eucharist because I am a living host. The will of God supplies for everything. I don't need to work. I don't need to do anything. God is going to provide everything for me. This is what he says. These assertions are only and solely diabolical. They are the works of the devil. When I hear people say things about the divine will of how, you know, I'm a living host now. It's like, what are you reading? What are you reading? This is it's Luisa's book. What do you call that thing? It's a, can't think of the word. Oh Lord.
Diary?
Pardon?
Diary?
Thank you. That was so close. Thanks, Peter. The word from heaven, diary. Yes. It's a diary of Luisa's life. And Luisa gave up everything. I mean, her mother, she said to Jesus, my mother never hugged me. You know, I mean, Why? And Jesus says, because he goes, I'm jealous of you. I don't want anybody but me to be with you, to hold you, to hug you, to kiss you. And again, this isn't romantic. It's a father holding his little daughter. It's a little daughter being in the arms of the father. So here he says, now you have to understand, these assertions are only and solely diabolical. They are the works of the devil. So many people, I've heard people say, when I read the divine will, Jesus is talking to me. Yes, he's talking to you about Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus loves so much that he called her the redemptrix of my fiat? So Our Lady's the co-redemptrix of redemption. Louisa's the redemptrix of sanctification. What? You know, people are upset of Our Lady being called co-redemptrix. Can you imagine when they hear that Louisa is the redemptrix of sanctification? With her, she, everything that God has created for mankind that he breathed into Adam failed because of Adam's betrayal, committing the original sin. So now 6,000 years later, after Jesus has redeemed us and Our Lady was with Jesus on Calvary, as Jesus redeemed us, 2,000 years later, he says, finally, I have a newborn, a firstborn in the divine will, Louisa Picaretta. Finally, I have one. And then from her, all generations basically are going to be blessed. It's a new beginning for humanity, and God had to find a human born of original sin that he could deposit in that soul, this rule of God, this breath of God, of the new Adam, Jesus, and of the new Eve, Mary. She, Louisa, is the one who possesses this. She says, so Father Bucci says, as I was well aware, as well as all my family have personally known the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, it was always fun to talk to Father Bucci about Louisa. Each time he talked about her, there would be something new that you would hear. It could be just a word. It could be just a phrase. And you really began to understand why everyone called her Louisa the Santa, Louisa the Saint. And therefore, we are very well acquainted with the thought of the servant of God, Louisa, and with Louisa's way of living. And that's one of the things that why he was gruff. He would say, that's not about Louisa. Let's not do this. This is not what you're supposed to be. You know, you're going in the wrong direction. You know, he was very protective of Louisa. So he says, the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, is Catholic. Her life was total submission to the sacerdotal authority, the priestly authority. That is, to the infallible magisterium of the church. The servant of God constantly reaffirmed to who were near her, among whom was also my aunt Rosaria Bucci, this concept. Okay, now this is the thing. See, Louisa would always say to Jesus, this is too personal to have these things published. Publish them after I'm dead, she said. I don't want humanity to question or to doubt this intimacy that I have with you, Jesus, as a father holding his little daughter. So she said, if the church declares that everything I have written is false, then she would say this, you must consider it false. If the church is infallible magisterium and in its age-old prudence declares false everything that has been written by me, she says, it means that the demon has deceived me. And only the church has this power to unmask it. So when basically in 1938, when they came down on Louisa, basically she said, good. She said, it was like a relief. Nobody needs to read this about my personal relationship with Jesus. She was very, very humble. What we find today is, oh, Jesus spoke to me today, and this is what he told me. You look at Louisa, she didn't want to put anything down on paper. She only did it to obey the spiritual director that was assigned to her by the bishop. And she didn't want to do this. I mean, she tried everything possible. She would always, I mean, the arguments she would get in with Jesus is, don't bother the priest. You do this, Jesus. Let him, you know, don't bother him to come every morning to bring me back to my senses. Don't you do this, Lord. And Jesus says, no, the priest has to see this. The priest has to know you, Louisa. And that's why it was so good to listen to Father Bucci. Michele in Italy, he's putting together more of the talks that Father Bucci has done. And it's very clear. The divine will is very simple. The divine will is very powerful. The divine will, there's no rules or regulations. It's up to you. So do you want to do this 30%? Do you want to do it 60%? Jesus says, do you want to do it 100%? What do you want? Jesus says, I have to give you what you want. So every day, the servant of God attended Holy Mass, celebrated in her room, receiving the most Holy Eucharist daily. Louisa urged everyone to go to Mass on Sunday, and one time rebuked my sister Maria because she had not gone there. This said, it is unthinkable to attribute that the servant of God's behaviors are not conformed to the magisterium and to the precepts of the Holy Mother Church. There are some people that just say, you know, Louisa says, this isn't Catholic. And it's so Catholic. Everyone's going to live this life. Everyone's going to live this life that Jesus breathed into Louisa. See, everybody was supposed to live Adam's life when the rule of God, the breath of God breathed the image and likeness of God in Adam. That was supposed to be our life. And when Adam fell, doing our own human will, we've been in misery for 6,000 years. 2,000 years ago, Jesus redeemed us. And we had the great saints, the great mystics who would teach us in their own way, their way of getting close to God, their way of becoming intimate with God. So you'd have many religious orders, and people would, oh, it's better to be this than to be that, you know, and everybody would be like, which is the best order? Which is the best religious order? And all of them have their unique blessings given to them by God. But now Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how to live my life. I'm going to teach you, and my mother's going to teach you how to live her life. This is not Louisa's ideas. This is Jesus dictating to Louisa. And the main thing is to be Catholic. And I'll tell you honestly, when the great miracle occurs, when this new and divine way of holiness is given to the world, everyone is going to say, how do we live this life? What do we do? And the first words are, be baptized, be a baptized Catholic. And everyone will say, I want to be baptized. You have to understand what's coming is so powerful that it's 100%. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. It's a new and divine way of holiness is coming to the world. And the Lord in his mercy, the Lord in his generosity, the Lord in his goodness has allowed us to live at this time to be given this understanding of the new and divine way of holiness that everyone is going to embrace. So right now, after 2,000 years, we have 1 billion Catholics out of 8 billion people. That's not good. One out of eight. That's it. God wants us to be have one heart, one mind, one faith, to live as the family of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And you have to remember when the first purging of, you know, of the flood came, the Lord basically said, I've only found one family, one man and his family are not interbred by the sons of God and producing Nephilim. You read Genesis 6. It's very clear. Right after that, he says, God says, I'm sorry I created man. They are so rebellious that they're changing their DNA. And that's the devil's plan. The devil's plan is to change our DNA. And God came to save humanity. God came to redeem humanity. And so now today, what do we have? We have the second purification was the blood of Jesus washing the world clean. The first purification was the flood washing the world clean of this interbreeding. And Jesus says it because of Noah's faith, being ridiculed for 120 years building the ark, being mocked and laughed at for 120 years, he still built that ark. He built a boat in the desert. I mean, that's Noah. And our God is saying to us, Louisa now has the true life of the new Adam, Jesus, the true life of the new Eve, Mary. So this final purification, this third purification of fire is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this is why it's so essential that we consecrate ourselves, our family, our homes, our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because this fire that's going to come upon the earth is the love of God consuming the world in love, the love of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, through the little newborn, Louisa. She's the one that possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And it's not like the saints. The saints possessed a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary, and God wants 100%. He doesn't want just a virtue. He wants us to possess his life as much as we want or as little as we want. So in order, so he says, Father Bucci says, in order to understand well the spirituality of the servant of God, the following requirements are necessary. The groups must be formed of Eucharistic souls. So when somebody says to me, my Protestant friends want to read this. I said, okay, good. But they're going to hit some bumps in the road. They're going to hit the bump of the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus. They're going to hit a bump in the road of the Blessed Mother, Theotokos, the Mother of God. They're going to hit a bump in the road of the Pope, the Vicar of Christ on earth. And because of negativity, because of confusion, it's all going to be scrambled up. People are going to come up with ideas that are, well, like Father Bucci says, diabolical. But once we start reading, once we start studying and begin to understand why Jesus gave us the Eucharist, he says, you receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ at Holy Mass. He says, and when the host is dissolved, then the real presence in a mystical way is gone. The real presence in a mystical way is gone. Jesus says, I'm preparing my people for the first bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. The first bread, the bread of the divine will. So he says, I give you the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist to prepare yourself for this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So what does the Holy Church do? The Holy Church, we have Mass, we have communion, there's the final prayer, final blessing, and it's over. Why? The Church does not want to interfere with your communion. So as John Paul II wanted in the 1980s, he wanted every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. So that was a preparing what for this great gift of the divine will. So the groups in that are going to study the divine will, he says, must be formed of Eucharistic souls. These are the souls who will spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And not just to punch in a clock, but to fall in love with God. These are the souls that Jesus says, are his closest friends. They will not leave him alone. They want to be with him every day. They don't want to leave him alone. That's what he says to Luisa. He says, Luisa, he says, you will not leave me alone. Will you? Will you always be with me? Will you always want me? That's our God. So the groups must be devoted to the Most Holy Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. So Eucharist and Our Lady. This is essential because Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And what God is asking us to do is to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. So the third, they must be submitted in everything to the authority of the church, especially to their own bishop, who is the only guarantee of the faith in the local church. And I've said this before, but the vestments, the chasuble of the Latin rite, you know, has a pillar in the front and a cross in the back, a cross on the back of the chasuble that they wear. And it's because the priest has to be scourged and has to be crucified. But the unfortunate problem is it's usually done by the laity. When I talk to people and they're all upset. They're all upset about Father. Father doesn't do it the way the other priest did. Father does this. Father does that. Father is doing this. And it's like your job is to pray for them. You might see a weakness, but that means to pray for them. God is making it very obvious. This is what you need to pray for. And it's not that you're a savior of the priest, but the priest needs the fiat of the community so that he can become what God has called him to be, a priest. And a lot of priests, especially in the last 60 years, have given the priesthood over to the laity. And the priests are doing the lay person's job and the lay people are doing the priest's job. And this is not what God wants. That's why everything is falling apart faster. The priest has to be the priest. The priest has to be the father of the parish. The priest has to be the shepherd of the sheep. It's not going to be, you know, Father's got to do this and Father's got to do that. And I mean, I see a lot of older priests when people would come up and they'd go, Father, would you? No. Father, would you? No. It's always this definite no. And the reason is it's always, you know, demands. And what needs to be done is the laity has to understand that God always chooses the weakest. Why? To confound the wise. He always says that. So the priests need the prayers. The priests, I mean, remember the king of France with Joan of Arc, how the king of France, was basically a coward. And he's supposed to be the king. And it took a 16-year-old girl to help him become a king. And even when that happened, they let her die. It was in God's mysterious way. God is asking us to pray more. You're going to see a lot of things happening there where you can complain, you can be negative, or you can repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That was Luisa's job. Jesus said to Luisa, these people can't get to heaven. These people can't get to heaven. Would you repair for them? And she said, yes. And that's what Jesus is asking us. Okay. If our prayer group doesn't have Eucharistic souls, we got to pray that they become Eucharistic souls. If the people don't want the Blessed Mother, I remember I was in one parish and after Mass, you know, I'm greeting the people and this man came up to me and he says, why do you keep on talking about her? And I went, who? And he goes, Mary. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, you're always bringing up a Mary. We have Jesus. We don't need anybody. I said, are you Catholic? He goes, yes, I'm Catholic. All I need is Jesus Christ. I said, my goodness gracious. Yes, we need Jesus, but he has given us his mother. And he goes, well, just stop preaching about her. Just talk about you. And I was really shocked to hear that. If we see somebody in our prayer group that doesn't have a love for the Blessed Mother, help them. Help them understand, especially the Virgin Mary in the kingdom. You know, pray that in at least twice a year, you know, in May and in October, the months of Our Lady. And if they're not submitted in everything to the authority of the church, especially to their bishops, when something comes negative, we say, we got to pray. We got to pray for them. It's not, Jesus, Our Lady says, don't criticize the priests. Pray for them. Because the pavement of hell, as the saints have said, is covered with the skulls of priests. The pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. Our job is, Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvesters, for priests, for bishops. That's our job. All the writings that make reference to the diaries of Picaretta must be read and interpreted only and solely in the light of the sacred scripture and of the magisterium of the church. This is why the Archbishop has said, you can print the writings for your prayer group. He said, but if you have the writings, he says, you have to have a priest to help you understand some of the theological difficulties that are there. And it's not difficulties. He says there, it's not, he said, that the church unties and you go, oh, this is what Jesus means by that. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. So again, the writings must be read and interpreted only and solely in the light of the sacred scripture and of the catechism. The groups must have a spiritual father, priests of sure orthodoxy who are legitimately incarnated in their own diocese or, if religious, in the order they belong to. There are many that are not. And that's the thing that you got to be careful of. You know, I always try to find out who the bishops are of the priests. And it's important, or the spiritual or the of their religious order, the ones in charge, because it's important to know that this is one of the right reasons why you have to have a letter of suitability from your diocese to go to another parish to say mass, to offer mass. So the groups must be gradually formed, and watch out for the inappropriate fanaticisms and inappropriate interpretations. Watch out for those inappropriate interpretations. They should certainly avoid attitudes that border on heresy. So the Archbishop did say, don't blend in anything with Luisa. The Archbishop said, Luisa, the doctrine of the divine will is pure because it's directly from Jesus, directly from Mary. Don't bring in other religious things. You know, keep the divine will pure by just reading and studying the writings of Luisa with the sacred scripture, with the catechism. Our duty is exactly this: a correct interpretation of the writings of Picaretta in the light of the magisterium of the church. This is the precise will of this soul. This is Father Bucci. All of God, Luisa, all of God, and very faithful and very obedient. Luisa was an obedient daughter of the church. She never wanted to do anything, and Father Bucci too, never wanted to do anything that would corrupt that pure light, love, life that God breathed into Luisa. One who acts otherwise is certainly a diabolical being who wants to hinder the fulfillment of the kingdom of divine will, of which the servant of God is the bearer. Okay, so again, that's another thing. The divine will is so simple. It's love. It's to enter into this life, this love of Jesus and Mary. Just think about what did Jesus and Mary talk about for those 30 years of silence? How did they live those 30 years of silence? It was filled with heaven. St. Joseph had the opportunity to be in the presence of these two, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And he was there as their protector, but also he was given the great blessing of not living in the divine will, but he was given the great blessing to witness these two, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, how they talk to one another. I mean, think about it. When Jesus was lost in the temple when he was 12 years old, the scribes, the Pharisees, they had those 3 days, were in awe of him. Who is this boy who understands scripture so well? It was Our Lady going over sacred scripture with her son. And the two of them, she would say something. I mean, could you see? It was like tennis. She would say something and he would say something. I mean, that's what's happening when we read the Book of Heaven. You're in the presence of the new Adam, of the new Eve through Louisa, and listening. And it's in awe because every day it's something more beautiful. Every day there's something more interesting. Every day there is a greater happiness, a greater delight in listening to what God is teaching us. So at this time, responding to these emails, I, Father Bernardo Giuseppe Bucci, urge you to not give credit to and refuse whatever interpretations of the right of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, that are contrary to the magisterium of the church. See, some people were writing heresies against Luisa, saying Luisa had some heresies. The archbishop. Hello. Oh dear. Sorry about that. The phone is on that side of the room. It'll be only on for a couple of seconds. So, okay, so where were we? I'm completely interpreting. Okay. I have no idea what I was saying. I had one professor who was always, we would always distract him while he was talking. And one day I hooked up, this is a theology. I hooked up a cup, not of water over his head. It was up above, but a cup filled with confetti. And I put a string all the way. I was in the back of the room. I'm in the back of the room and the string was hanging right behind me. And I'm waiting. Okay, now's a good time. I'm waiting to pull this string and have the confetti fall on him and the podium. And I'm looking and I'm trying to find the string. I'm watching him trying to find the string. So finally I turn back and grab the string and I look, and he looked at me and he put his hand over his head and I pulled the string and it just confetti. That was the end of the class. He couldn't think of where he was or what he was doing. And I said to him, I said, why did you cover your head? He goes, I just knew you were going to do something. He said, it was really hilarious. But anyways, getting back to, teaching ministry, I invite you. Oh, that was a heresy. I was right next to Archbishop Picieri, he was asked that question about certain books, and he said very, very clearly, do not read these books. Don't read any of them. Now, he wasn't talking about Luisa. He was talking about somebody who was writing about Luisa, saying that there was heresies in Luisa's writings. And he was very stern and he made it very clear. Archbishop Picieri was a very holy man. And then he wrote, that was one of his last letters. I think he had a heart attack after this because he wrote a letter and said, those who are talking about Luisa saying that there's heresies are wrong and you must stop this immediately. He was very upset. And then he died shortly after that. But good things are coming. Amazing things are happening and God is going to win. So he says, I invite you to spread this letter of mine to all the groups who, like you, are finding themselves in difficulty, okay, with again, the bad interpretations. Fiat, Father Bucci. So an unidentified piece. Rome still allowed for mass to be said in Luisa's house. A priest that was the head of the priests who were running Corrado at the time went to Luisa's house when she was very rigid and stiff. This at night, she would become petrified. like a solid rock. And Father Bucci said, if she was reaching like for a light and that hit her, nobody could move her. The hand would stay up and it was like solid. She said, nobody could budge her or even move her. And, until the priest came in the following morning. And when the priest came in the following morning, the priest would say, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One. And she would come back to her senses. So he said, she needed the blessing here, right here, the sign of the cross for her to become loose and mobile again. They gave her two blessings and she wasn't coming out. So he got upset. He got mad and he put on his vestments to say mass. And Luisa came through. The priest really scolded her, like, he told her all kinds of things. You are disobedient. You are fake. Can you imagine little Luisa? Luisa said very calmly, she again, always calm. I was asking our Lord for the salvation of a soul, and I had the permission of the Lord. The Lord gave her permission to stay next to this poor soul until he or she died. And the priest said, who is this person? And Luisa was able to say, this person lives on this street, on the number of the house, and this who is who it is. And the priest got madder and angrier. And the priest said, I just went by the street to come here, and there was no sadness. I did not hear anybody cry. I did not see that there was any of that, you know, mourning, that weeping after a death. After mass, the priest left and was pretty upset about all this. 15 minutes later, he comes back to Luisa, and he, listen to this. He asks Luisa to forgive him because as he went by that same street and house, in that minute, he realized in those days they put a black cloth in front of the house when a person died. And he sees the dead family putting the cloth in front of the house because of that person had died. And from that moment on, he became very devoted to Luisa. So again, this is something, as you're reading, you will have questions. Because this is mystical, but don't get angry. You go and pray. Ask Luisa to help you understand. Ask Luisa, like I've always said, when you're having any difficulty, read the letters of Luisa. The letters of Luisa are, she speaks right to you. She speaks right to your heart. She tells you exactly what is needed at that moment. You will see this. You really will. Father Bucci's message, the Easter message, wishing you, this is a few years before he died, wishing you a holy Easter under the protection of Luisa. See, that like Father Bucci said, that if you have a picture of Luisa, put it in your window. I have northeast, southwest picture of Luisa in every one of the windows. He says, what's coming is going to be tough. He says, if you have a statue of Luisa, put it outside your front door, you know, up above the door. He said, when the demons see this, they flee because they realize that they're total failures. They seduced Eve. She betrayed God. Adam fell, original sin 6,000 years ago. And then 2,000 years ago, Jesus and Mary came to earth, but the Catholic Church is 1 billion out of 8 billion. What's coming is he thinks he's won. I mean, this is the pride of the devil. God wins. God is going to win. And put yourself under the protection of little Luisa. And the demons, when they see Luisa, they hear the prayers of Adam before the fall, coming from this newborn, Luisa, and all those that are reading, the prayers are of heaven on earth. It's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He says, the saint, Luisa, most assuredly that she, Luisa, can help you understand the mystery of Easter, the mystery of Pentecost, the mystery of Christmas. With utmost certainty, Luisa has fully understood and entered into the mystery of Easter, especially when Jesus says, I rose from the dead so that my children can rise from the dead before they die. rise from the death of the human misery. No longer are we going to live this. See, the 6,000 years is coming to an end of the evil one ruling the earth. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one who has been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. And again, this is something that our God has predestined us to witness what's coming. Just think about it. All the apparitions of Our Lady throughout the world, especially in the last 50 years. What is happening with Our Lady of America, with Our Lady of Akita, with Our Lady? She's saying, get ready for the return of my son. Our Lady speaking to Father Gobi, get ready for the return of my son. With utmost certainty, Luisa has fully understood and entered into the mystery of Easter, especially because of the resurrection, to rise from the dead of the human will. My prayer is that you are also able to live this mystery in truth. Luisa, with certainty, has fully lived and day by day within the mystery of Jesus Christ. And so my prayer is that all of you will live these days by meditating on the writings of Luisa, especially everything encompassing Easter. That's why if you're doing your rounds, pray the rounds of Easter Pentecost, from Easter Pentecost all the way to the Feast of Christ the King in October. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about light. It says, especially everything encompassing Easter and in particular the hours of the Passion. But not only meditating on the Passion, but also the glory of the resurrection. And that's what Jesus says. John Paul II said that. He says, we are an Easter people. He says, basically, to rise from the dead, to begin to live this abundant life. That's what's coming. May the holy blessing of God come upon all of you, all your families, and the prayer groups in the United States and all over the world. I give you my priestly blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed Easter. Father Bucci was very, very generous. He was always generous, even with food. He loved cheese. And one day he gave me this cheese that the smell was so bad. And he says, bring it home to your family. You know, the smell was so bad. I said, I'm going to be on the plane with this cheese. It was really hilarious. God worked it all out, though. That was really good. So he says, and also pray to Aunt Rosaria, his aunt, that she may continue to help stop abortions. See, it's not only stopping abortions, it's all miscarriages. Aunt Rosaria has a great mission, Jesus told her. As Luisa prayed for the children that were born, and that's in the first page of volume 36, Aunt Rosaria has a mission to stop abortions and that all the children be saved, okay? That all may limit the life of the pregnancy of a woman and anything that ends the life of a preborn baby. So all this is going to come to a screeching halt. All the killings, all the euthanasia that's happening in almost every hospital, all the, you know, the death, the culture of death that John Paul II talked about. He says we have to begin to live a life of the living, of the light, of the love of God. Padre Pio had told us that a few weeks before Luisa died, that Luisa informed his Aunt Rosaria, who helped with the care of Luisa for 40 years, that Jesus gave Rosaria the mission, listen to this, of helping the preborn. This is all the babies. In a similar way that Jesus gave Luisa the mission of those born to the light of the day. Okay, and then I think what we'll do is we'll stop there because I think this is the last meeting on Monday night. I think Peter might repeat some of the meetings for the summer. But good things are coming. It's going to be bumpy. I was talking to somebody from Texas and, I said, I think what's coming is we're going to be going full speed in a stagecoach on a wooden platform with no cushion, bouncing as we're going through these fields to get through, because it's only going to be a short time, but it's going to be bumpy. And he goes, oh, I don't want to go through that. He goes, but it's going to be bumpy. But God's in charge. God's got it all planned. He needs us to give our fiat. He needs us to say yes. And if we can say yes, we're going to get through what God has planned for us to go through. So this is a great time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. Pray. Read, and see what God's got planned. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. We pray for that holy anointing that Jesus gave to Louisa to receive the invincible strength to live in the divine will and to stop living in our human will. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command for all of us and our families, our loved ones, to be divinely healed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.